This is a Triple J podcast.
Every billionaire is a douchebag.
Parliament is a sick place.
I thought, oh my God, I might be an alcoholic. Obviously, I'm an inadequate guest.
If no, that's not what I'm saying.
Who's the Prime Minister?
Oh, welcome to The Shake Up. I'm Dave Marchese. It's so good to have you here as we dive into this week of news. It has been a big one, hasn't it? There's been so much going on. We're going to talk about some of the stories that maybe got you talking with your friends and your group chats. Some of them maybe you haven't even heard much about. Whether it's sport, a little bit of arts in here. We're talking about boomers, intergenerational inequality. We've got it all. Here's what's coming up.
Hacks, a massive generational gap in wealth and opportunity in this country.
And we simply cannot afford for that to happen.
There were concerns for the players' safety after they didn't sing their national anthem in their first match.
All respect to the ballet and opera people out there. Damn, I just took shots for no reason.
On Triple J.
Yeah, later we're talking the Timothée Chalamet controversy. He's not a fan of opera and ballet, apparently. And these comments that he's made have outraged many in the arts scene. Some are saying it could cost him an Oscar next week. I don't know what you think of this. If you are an opera singer or you're in ballet, I am particularly keen to hear from you. Get in touch, send us a message, tell us what you think. 0439 757 555. But before we go any further, let's meet the Shake Up crew for the week. And for the first time this year, I believe Shake Up royalty, entertainer, et cetera, et cetera. How are you?
Oh my gosh, it's so good. It feels like years since I've been here, so it's so good to be back. I was on a holiday and then it was Mardi Gras, so you'd have better luck, you know, getting the Pope during during Vatican's Mardi Gras. Do they have that?
Oh, I'm not sure they have that.
What's the Vatican's equivalent of Mardi Gras?
Oh, I could say things, but I'm not sure that they'd be accurate,
okay,
so I won't delve in. But yeah, look, I've been trying to get you on, but it has been flat out. This time of year, just crazy for you. Do you get a bit of time off now? Like, is it a bit of relaxation?
Well, yesterday was my birthday.
Oh, what?
Yeah, so you get me on birthday Boxing Day.
Get out!
So I've really just been, you know, just being merry. I've just been really just having a fabulous time and doing nothing but eating and drinking and just like relaxing.
Oh, we love that. What'd you do for your birthday?
I went 10-pin bowling, which is really exciting.
Not what I imagined. Well, somehow not what I thought.
There's something really therapeutic about, you know, just really giving it to the pins. Just really sending it down there. Something about the heavy ball in your hands. It really makes you feel alive.
Sensing some double entendre there, but I'm not sure. Look, let's meet our other Shake Up guest for today. And from our Parliament House studio in Canberra, it's political reporter at AAP, Dominic Giannini. Hey, Dom.
Hey, how you going? And happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Oh.
Have you been 10-pin bowling as well, Dom?
Not recently.
No.
No, not in a while. I'm the guy that needs the lanes up, though. I'm terrible at the push ramp.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty uncoordinated.
That's interesting. I would have taken you for a bit of a 10-pin bowler. What are you up to this weekend? It's been a massive, massive week in politics. Are you over it?
I think a lot of people in this building are over it. I'm just watching the footy this weekend and then I'm back on deck Sunday, so I don't have too much of a break. But the Raiders are playing after this, so going straight to that.
Okay, going to that. And et cetera, you'll be there too with the Raiders?
Of course, I'm actually playing. Someone's hurt their knee and they needed me to sub in, and I've got a beautiful physique.
I heard they were subbing you in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Look, we've got so much to get into. Remember, we want you to join this conversation too. If you're listening right now, you got thoughts, you got opinions, get in touch. Hit the text line 0439 757 555. Let's go.
This is an incredibly dangerous and tense time for these footballers.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it's the story this week that had all the twists and turns of a TV show, but it was real. Iran's women's football team in Australia for the Women's Asian Cup. All attention was on them, not really for the sport, but because pressure was building on the Australian government to offer the players asylum because of the war that's happening in the Middle East, because of treatment they may suffer back home. When they were given the opportunity, some grabbed it, but others decided to return to Iran. So what happens now?
Hack.
The Iranian women's soccer team was half a world away when the war started.
The Iranian women decided not to sing their national anthem.
State TV labelling them wartime traitors.
Facing the risk of being persecuted, going back to Iran.
More Iranian soccer players seek asylum in Australia.
They're safe here and they should feel at home here.
Donald Trump saying it would not be appropriate for Iran's squad to be at this summer's World Cup.
Iran is pulling out of the tournament.
On Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear what you think of this story. How did you feel watching all of this play out with Iran's women's football team? Do you think our government did enough? And what do you think is going to happen next? Message in 0439 757 555. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the headlines of the week with political reporter Dom Giannini and performer etc. 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 This was a wild story. It really did feel like something you could be watching on TV.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't follow along with sports that heavily, you know. What opera and ballet are to Timothy Chalamet is what a lot of sports are to me, no offence. But this one, I think it crosses that kind of line of coming into a real, I don't know, I really felt for these women and also the conversation around it. It kind of crossed into lots of different topics about how we're looking at our involvement in foreign politics and our responsibilities as a country, even though we're now allegedly involved in the conflict. Where is our responsibility to keep people safe if they're coming here to participate in activities in our country?
Did you see that footage of the game on the Gold Coast where players were not singing the national anthem? And there was a lot of commentary about that, about whether that was a silent protest.
Yeah, and I think all these kind of events where you've got the eyes of the world on you when you're, you know, playing at the top of whatever field you're participating in, it's a moment where you do want to say something, and you do, if you want people to notice something that's important to you, it's a really great platform, and I'm sure sporting figures, you know, they're going to take those opportunities to say something about things that affect them.
Dom, there was also a lot of political reaction to all of this, because in the days before these players, well, some of them left to return to Iran, the government was facing a lot of pressure to do more to offer these players asylum.
So they were facing a lot of pressure, and even Donald Trump tweeted out or went on Truth Social, but there was a lot of work in the background already underway. So a lot of these things are obviously pretty sensitive. So our officials were trying to get in contact with them and reach out and make sure, you know, essentially no alarms were tripped. So the girls' safety was paramount. So it was a very tense period for everyone involved.
And I guess as well, there was concern about those who might be returning home and what kind of reception they might receive, because they had been labelled traitors basically on Iranian state television. It must have been, Dom, an agonising decision, like to try and put yourself in that headspace. It's impossible, right?
Yeah, I cannot imagine what it would have been like to go through that. I guess most of us can only try and imagine, but it would have just been a harrowing experience for the girls.
Do you think sport, et cetera, you were saying, I'm not the biggest sport fan, but do you think that there really is an opportunity here for it to highlight issues that many people might not ordinarily engage with? Like, is that what happened with you, that you were like, I'm into sport because this thing's happening and I want to know what's going on, but there might be others who might not be paying attention to the news generally, and because something happens in the sporting world, they're like, hold on, what's going on in Iran?
Yeah, and I think it's important to realize that events that happen in the world, especially these incredibly major geopolitical events, they impact every aspect of our lives. And, you know, there's some people that, you know, just want to watch their footy or their soccer and, you know, get on with their lives. But unfortunately, these sports are made up of real people who come from all over the world and suffer real consequences of these conflicts. And it's going to come into different parts of your life. You're going to have to watch it. So it's better now to become educated about what's going on in the world. Yeah. So I think it's a good thing.
Dom, you mentioned Donald Trump and he getting out there and kind of urging the Australian government to act. What do you think was going through the minds of the Prime Minister and those senior ministers seeing that? Do you think that actually did put a lot of pressure on the government?
I think a lot of things were already underway at that point. I'd just like to know how the call got through at 2 a.m. Did it break through Albo's Do Not Disturb? did it go direct to him? There's obviously protocols in place. Did some poor staffer have to wake him up at 2 a.m. and say, hey, we got a phone call for you after a tweet? I don't know what's going through Albo's mind at 2 a.m. then. Yeah. Probably a lot of expletives, but
you can imagine.
You're better off asking him, I reckon.
You can imagine. There was also, I don't know whether you saw this, Dom, but the Brisbane Roar has offered the players who stayed a place to train, enjoy some football.
I did.
That's like such a heartwarming thing. It's, you really do see the best in communities at times like this, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just one of those stories that cut through to everyone. You know, whether you were a sports fan, whether you watch politics or not, it went global as well. So, yeah, I think it definitely touched everyone. And, yeah, hopefully those women are able to resettle here and, I guess, get on with playing football.
And it has happened before. Like, we had Afghanistan's women's cricket team got refuge here in 2021. And I was recently reading an article, actually, about those that have built new lives here and what they've been able to achieve. And it's incredible. So no doubt a very, very long road ahead. But there'll be a lot of people wishing, you know, those who stayed and those who returned a lot of good luck in the months and years ahead. If it was a movie, et cetera, would you watch it?
Of course, and I'm sure Netflix has already started bidding so they can start making some money off it. but I, you know, these are real life stories and real things that are happening to people all over the world every day. And I think we're very sheltered sometimes here in this country to not be exposed to these kind of stories. And so I think it's important for people to start taking notice of what's happening around the world.
We've got some messages on Hack's Instagram. Annie saying, what about the safety of their families? It's an important point and a question a lot of people have been asking. Someone else says, welcome home, girls, and another person saying, finally, this is some good news. I'm just worried about the rest of the team. All right, we're going to move on.
Pack. They're broke, reluctant to have children, stuck living at home, unable to hook up, and worried about future jobs.
On Triple J.
Yeah, it's the kind of headline that you know is just going to annoy and probably infuriate so many people. Boomers are getting richer. Their collective wealth increasing by 840%. Since 2002, now reaching nearly $6 trillion. Other generations in Australia, though, are not getting richer, it appears. So is it as clear-cut as that? Should people be blaming another generation? And will this building frustration among young people force the government into action?
Hack.
Baby boomers are officially Australia's wealthiest generation ever.
Boomers are all about money, and Gen Z is like, what is money?
Hard work isn't paying off, and our tax system is making it worse.
Why have we let the system get so bad that life is actually unaffordable for the average person now?
The man leading the examination of security agencies following the Bondi massacre has abruptly quit his role.
One for which he was being paid $5,500 a day.
He effectively felt he was getting paid too much to not do enough work.
On Triple J. Yeah, I want to know what you think of this story. What do you think needs to be done to make the system a bit fairer for young people? Because it's a question we do ask a lot, but with this new research out there, these new figures that were released this week finding baby boomer wealth has been increasing dramatically, while the economic share of every other generation has fallen, people are keen to talk about this. We've got someone on the text line now saying the wealth of baby boomers does go on to benefit their children and charities. If the most wealthy paid their fair share, you wouldn't need to have this conversation, that person says. What do you think? Message in 0439757555. It is the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into some of the news of the week with political reporter at AAP, Dom Giannini, entertainer, etc., etc. etc. Baby boomers worth $6 trillion. Does that surprise you at all?
Well, I've actually started identifying as a boomer and hoping the good karma will come my way. You know, they say non-binary people, we're just identifying as whatever we want. And I've decided that my pronouns are now baby / boomer. So I'm hoping I get some, you know, some financial return on that.
A bit of a windfall maybe with a change of identity there. Yeah, I mean, I guess the concern is that almost a third of national wealth is now held by baby boomers, yet they make up less than 2% of the population. You know, jokes aside, when I say that, does that worry you at all?
Yeah, it does concern me. And I've seen the flow on events in, you know, industries that I work in, such as nightlife. You see young people not coming out and participating in these kind of industries as much because they don't have the money. They don't have the disposable income to come out and get as many drinks at the bar or go to as many events or concerts. And it's because there's just not the same ability to spend money on these luxuries.
Dom, is this the kind of story that is an AAP political reporter's dream that you think, oh, this is going to go off? People are going to love to talk about this one.
I think people are going to love to talk about it. I wouldn't call it my dream story. Because, I mean, like, you just have to speak to any young person, right, about how hard it is to get into the housing market, the price of everything, and how hard it is to get, you know, high-paying jobs or stable work for a lot of people. A lot of people are working, you know, more than one, two jobs to try and make, like, put everything together, and you just feel like you can't get ahead. It is really tough.
It's tough for so many people, and we're hearing from a lot of those people now on the text line. Some people also questioning this idea of pitting generations against each other, saying, look, you know, obviously, as a whole, baby boomers hold a lot of wealth, but there are a lot of people who are really struggling in that age demographic as well. There are people who are struggling with housing, with renting, and it's important that we don't, you know, cast a wide brush there across a whole generation, as young people wouldn't maybe want to be talked about in the same way. We've got Eric and Yamba saying it's going to become inheritance anyway. Another person says, don't blame the baby boomers. You wouldn't be here without them, that person says. Here's what Alex thinks.
$6 trillion is a pretty absurd amount of money, but if they've earned it themselves, who are we to judge? Unless they've done it immorally, I think good on them.
Etc. Have you thought about how we should be fixing things? Have you got any big plans about what should be the priority of government?
I thought you were going to ask if I've thought about making money immorally, and I was going to say I think about it every day. Look, it is a bit scary, you know, as someone who is looking at when am I going to be able to own a home? When am I going to be able to have stable income? I'm a freelancer, I'm a creative, so I don't really have the same security as someone working a 9-to-5. And as industries like nightlife get restricted because younger generations, who are the ones that participate the most, go out less and less. I go, well, what's going to happen? Am I going to be able to keep doing this job? And maybe the solution is to get the 75 and ups out at the nightclub. Let's get them out at the drag shows.
Is that the solution, Dom? Do you think it's getting people over the age of 70 and 80 into the nightclubs to kickstart that economy?
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got to show your income bracket at the door, and taxes apply on drinks.
Interesting proposal there. Maybe we'll see it in the upcoming budget. But
and that way it doesn't matter about age. It's purely a progressive system depending on how much you pay for a drink.
Do you reckon, though, that the government really is going to? It's been floating these ideas saying, oh, we're going to talk about this more in the budget. Do you think that there are really, really big announcements to come?
It's shaping up that way. I mean, you can never be certain, you know, what's going to happen with the budget, but it's shaping up that way because the government does have a big focus on intergenerational wealth. So when you're reading through some of the texts, they, you know, the baby boomers did make their money legally, I guess, most of them. And the argument is not that, you know, people are going to go start taking their houses or their investments. It's that the system has to be fairer for younger people because you can see how the wealth is cut and divided. So if the system is preventing young people from getting into the market, or not even young people, young people, but also people who are struggling socioeconomically, the argument is you need to make everything fairer so people who have access to capital from, you know, decades ago don't force everyone else out.
Yeah, look, we've got a lot of messages coming through on this. TJ says the government needs to fix how tax works for people on lower incomes. You shouldn't be paying the tax at the rates at which they are now. Another person saying intergenerational wealth transfer is a possibility for many, but not for all. My parents have admitted they are going to spend it and just leave their house to me and my siblings. Another person says you've got to blame past and present governments. Baby boomers actually worked hard for their wealth. And another person with a bit of advice here, Dave, saying it's great to be a boomer. We're loaded and we're loving it. We were young once, believe it or not, and we had no money then either. Work hard, save, limit your luxuries. Today's young people will have money one day. What do you think when you hear that, et cetera?
So inspirational. I can't wait.
You ready to work harder?
I'm going to work so hard. You know what? Actually, I'm leaving now. I've got to run to my fourth job.
You're like, why? Why am I wasting time here doing this free job? The other thing that I thought was interesting in the headlines this week surrounding this was independent MP Allegra Spender. She was out there this week saying we need tax reform, rein in negative gearing, income tax cuts. She represents one of the richest electorates in the country, Wentworth. Were you surprised by that, Dom?
I wasn't surprised by it because Allegra's been running on this platform, I mean, essentially forever since she came in. She's massive on tax reform. We can't paint everyone with this broad brush, as you were saying before. Like, there are baby boomers and people, older generations, people who have benefited from housing investments, who do want to see changes to the system, that do acknowledge that it can be unfair for some. So there is definitely an appetite out there for reform. And Allegra's come out and she said that. Like, she's pointed to her electorate as one of the wealthiest, if not the wealthiest electorate in the country, and said there is still appetite to do this.
We've got so many more messages coming through. Mo says, if we gave every generation the same opportunities the boomers got, I think we would all do well. Another person says, I earn a six-figure salary and live from paycheck to paycheck as I live in Sydney and have a student loan. Another person saying, baby boomers made money off the back of a free education that they took away. And someone else says, I also feel like the boomers are much more frugal with their money than us younger people. So that's a younger person there saying, maybe we do need to rein in the spending. Did you see this story, et cetera, about a former ASIO boss, Dennis Richardson? He was part of the Royal Commission into Anti-Semitism, but he felt like he wasn't needed and he was being paid way too much, equivalent of $5,500 a day. So he said, I'm quitting. He was like, I don't need this. It's too much and I want to give back. Unexpected move.
Yeah, and very exciting to see someone say, I actually don't want the money.
Have you ever done this?
Well, sometimes when I'm working at a bar, someone will offer me to buy me a drink and I say to them, no, the bar gives me free drinks and it makes me feel like a good person. I go, you know what, that's my cosmic karma for the day and also good for my liver. But, you know, I think everyone should kind of take stock of what's happening professionally. I think more people should start advocating, number one, to be paid more in a lot of jobs and industries. But maybe these people who are getting paid these enormous amounts to do very little should start looking at how they can redistribute their resources that they take up to other people in the companies or organisations they work in.
And Dom, have you ever gone back to your employer, to the boss, and said, actually, I've maybe got a bit too much this week. If you want to take a bit back.
I am in the wrong industry to say I've been paid too much money. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah, we've got a lot of messages still coming through. Someone says, if the system has concentrated wealth in a corner of society, then the system is the problem. And another person saying, I know it's a whole other can of worms, but the cost of education is also incomparable. Boomers could get a degree for barely anything. And another person saying, bring back higher taxes and free education. Okay, so that's a common theme.
Hack. All of a sudden, everyone is an opera and ballet enthusiast.
On Triple J.
Do you reckon he knew one little comment would cause this much backlash? Timothy Chalamet, Oscar hopeful for Marty Supreme, talking about the future of movies on his press tour. But it was an unexpected dig at opera and ballet that's infuriated many in the arts world, saying basically nobody cares about those art forms anymore. So what do you think? Was it out of line? Or was he right?
Ha! Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, what a schmuck.
And I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or, you know, things where it's like, hey, keep this thing alive, even though no one cares about this anymore.
Ballet and opera aren't niche hobbies people opt out of for fame.
What Timothy said, it was poorly put, but he was being candid.
People still care about ballet and opera. It's just that the tickets for ballet and opera are just mad expensive.
The Seattle Opera trolling the star by offering 14% off seats with promo code Timothy
on Triple J.
Yeah, keen to hear your thoughts on this one, particularly keen to hear from you if you are in opera or ballet. What did you make of Timothy Chalamet's comments? Call in 1300 055 36. You can message in to 0439 757 555. This is what James reckons.
I'm not that crazy about ballet and opera, but to punch down on less popular art forms is just lazy.
Okay, it's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with entertainer, et cetera, journalist Dominic Giannini, et cetera. As a performer yourself, what do you think of this?
Well, I think it's important to acknowledge that opera and ballet haven't exactly been the most accessible art forms for the majority of people to see and experience and love throughout history. They've been hugely financially inaccessible. A lot of the time, a certain class is able to enjoy them. But I think it's important to separate the industry from the actual art form itself. Ballet and opera as art forms are incredibly technical, beautiful ways of telling stories that should be and are appreciated by people when made accessible. And maybe the comments kind of look more widely at what people are consuming and how they can consume things. But it maybe put some people off because they spend their entire lives devoted to an art form. And I think that that's where he offended some people.
Yeah, a lot of people on the text line got thoughts on this one. Someone says, I've got a classical music degree and we're pretty used to this kind of thing, actually. And although it is sad, it doesn't mean much. Someone else says he's not wrong. He just said it poorly. Someone saying young people don't attend these ballet and operas anymore. They're supported by charitable donation from the oldies. And another person saying opera's one of the oldest art forms. These film stars have opera to thank for their careers. Dom, did you have any thoughts on this one?
I'm not going to lie. I didn't have my head into the story before today.
But it won't be a problem for you because you're a massive opera buff. I know that you're there every weekend.
Yep,
when you're not at the NRL.
I go every weekend. I think the argument is how do you make something more accessible if people want to go there or to see it, right? Mm. And I have nothing wrong with the opera, with the ballet.
You're not going to pick a fight with them?
No,
today.
I'm not picking a fight with anyone. I don't go. I've been to musicals as a kid. But people love it.
Yeah.
Like, no one's saying let's can it entirely.
Okay, okay.
Like, people do love it, and I think we need to make it more accessible.
All right, we're going to go to a caller now. Scarlett's on the line. Scarlett, what was your thought on all of this as someone, you know, who's really into the arts?
Oh, I had a lot to say. I just thought it was so disappointing to see a rising young star, like, come down and be like, oh, like, no one cares. Because, firstly, like, young people aren't going to even like the theater as much anymore, which is arguably like so much more accessible than something like opera or ballet. And I just think, like, especially like Timothy is trying to like portray himself as this really like serious kind of artist, and I think you just need to pay homage to the fact that, like, you know, it's such an important part of the Western canon, and it's as important and as, like, integral to the way that we, like, communicate and interact and, like,
yeah,
with each other.
A lot of people are saying that, Scarlett, actually, saying, look, it's got a huge history, whether you like it or not. It deserves to be respected. Hey, thank you so much for your comments there. Really appreciate it, et cetera. One of the funniest parts of all this were the people that were coming out and talking about it and kind of slamming it. I think Doja Cat had a big spray about Timothy Chalamet, but then came out later and said, actually, I shouldn't have done that and I don't know anything about opera and ballet.
Well, I think it's something like in fashion, people always see the haute couture shows every year and they go, oh, you couldn't wear that down the street? That's ridiculous, you know? But it's not about the construction or how people... But a lot of people look at ballet and opera and go, well, how useless. They're just... It's this big display of things that don't make any difference to my life day to day. But in the human spirit and how we express ourselves, sometimes we have to go big. And I think Timothy dismissing these big art forms, it really makes the world a little bit smaller. Otherwise, we're all just going to be on TikTok forever.
I wonder, are there... what a dream. Yeah. I wonder, are there periods where drag as a performance has, like, come in and out of fashion and, like, now it's probably having a moment, but, you know, there've probably been times when it's really struggled.
Yeah, absolutely. But
the number one thing is these art forms have been kept alive because they are ways of expressing ourselves that resonate with people, both performers and audiences. And no matter what Timothée Chalamet thinks about it, people are going to continue performing in ballet and opera as long as people want to come and see it, and probably even if they don't want to come and see it. Yeah. It's just a way to express ourselves, and I think that's really important to remember.
Well, good words to finish on. Big thanks to our shake-up guests for this week, entertainer, et cetera, et cetera. Always appreciate your insights. Thank you so much.
No, thank you.
And political reporter Dom Giannini, enjoy your break, enjoy your time off the footy, all the rest of it.
Thank you. Up the milk.
Yes, and a big shout out to the hardworking Hat Crew executive producer Stephen Smiley, radio producer Susanna Makin, and Eva Blakemore, all the reporters as well. Hack.